What's up on deck? Because it's a brand new episode of the On Deck TV podcast. This week, we're giving y'all a full review of the Victory Lap. Victory Lap, Nipsey, brand new album. Shout out to the homie Nipsey. We're going to give it a full On Deck review as we do. Y'all go to realvillemedia.com and check out everything that's on the site. Your favorite co-host, me, I know. Yes, you don't have to say it. And everything that has to do with realvillemedia.com.
Absolutely, man. Everything that has to do with that includes the Full Sport Press podcast. Every Monday, they hit you with new shit, okay? Shout out to Big Jeff. Shout out to J-Hove and Howeezy. They recap that NBA All-Star game. Check out their latest joint. Also, the Ladies Room podcast. Shout out Rizzo and Anne Marie. They got a new one coming up hella soon. And last but not least, the Fresh for Dummies podcast. Me and the homie J-Hove, we broke down this crazy month of February and all those releases that just dropped. Give that a listen. Whether you got lucky or not, I did. Let's keep that on the low, though. All right, man. Let's talk this rap shit, though. Let's get to it. Excited, Jesus. Man, this weekend was crazy. What it do though? What the business is?
It's a brand new episode of the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, how did your boy Animal Brown, aka the Husky Vegan, aka Veggie Gibbs?
Wakanda forever.
Damn,
that's all that matters right now.
Straight to it.
Yes, Wakanda right. Forever.
I take it you saw Black Panther.
Facts.
What you think though? Real talk.
Flames. It was a great movie. I feel like the hype was well worth it. Everything that I was looking for going into it, I got. That was my weekend. That's what it consisted of, watching Black Panther. And I was very satisfied with this. You the Marvel head, though.
That's true.
You the nerd guy.
All that.
Of the podcast. You're the resident nerd.
All that.
So tell us what you thought about it, because I'm easily impressed with a movie. It's like this. Give me some special effects and a decent storyline and a lot of black people on screen shaking it. I'm good.
Yeah, the movie was dope as fuck. It's one of the movies where 3 days later you still thinking about scenes and shit.
Facts.
That's when the movie is fire. When you walk out and 20 minutes later you done kind of slick forgot it, that's when it's garbage. This shit, this giving me that Get Out effect, because 3-4 days later I was like, damn. The deer was the nigga picked the cotton when I was like, oh,
is it because the same dude is in there? My man Daniel the Trader.
You could tell you could tell on his face.
He was on shite.
Well, no spoilers though. Hold on. Everybody ain't seen it. Everybody ain't seen it.
Hit them 15.
We not even finna blow it.
Hit them 15 on the podcast. But no, it was a good movie, so we're not gonna blow that for everybody that have not seen it. Great movie though. I don't think that it was overhyped. There was a lot of backlash out there in the zeitgeist about people doing too much, dressing up, acting like this was the savior film, the how to be black guide of 2018. And nobody said it was that. And quite frankly, I'm frustrated with people acting like the people that were excited about this movie didn't have a right to be. People can be excited about movies, dude.
Yeah, for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do, people do it for other, people are excited when a lot of shit come out.
They do it for Harry Potter.
Lord of the Rings.
They do it for Lord of the Rings. They do it for Star Trek. People put on their Trekkie outfits.
Star Wars.
And people,
X-Men.
Hogwarts. People do all of this stuff. But we as black people, we got too much to worry about. We can't get hyped for movies. Is that the overlying tone?
I ain't going to lie. When I walked in and saw everybody in either African garb or all black, it made me, I was proud for about a split. I was like, you know what? Motherfuckers was in here on one accord. Motherfuckers went in here looking like Chief Keef, sagging with wife beaters on. Like, everybody looked presentable. Everybody was in there enjoying the movie, having a good time. Families. Roles was being taken up by families. Like, I was fucking with that shit. I ain't even gonna lie. I was like, okay.
It was a good time.
That's dope. It's not the beginning of world peace, but I'm just saying it was a it was a moment.
No, I mean, it was a good movie. It was a good movie. It was enjoyable. It was black. I enjoy seeing black people up on screen doing that.
Yeah, it was a shit. Other than that, though, this weekend was borderline lit. This Drake video, All-Star which we'll get weekend. Into in a few. All-Star weekend. Mm.
Your team win? You was team LeBron or you was team Steph?
I was team LeBron because my boy Drummond was on there.
Pause.
All that. Fire-ass Jordans came out.
And threes on deck. You ain't got no threes stories.
Nah, nothing, I caught mine with ease.
Dramatic.
I'm a pro at this shit.
I'm a pro at this shit.
70 degrees in the A. This weekend was popping. Real low key.
It's a serious weekend.
Shout out to the missus too. Her birthday was Sunday.
Ah, happy birthday to the missus, man.
Absolutely.
Miss V, Miss what, Veggie Jackson? Is that what you said?
Sure. I ain't got one for her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
The missus will work.
Alright.
Now let's get to this rap shit. Oh, and on top of all of that, that Nipsey came out. We done forgot about that shit already.
Nah,
like,
we forgot
shit.
About nothing.
Nah, I'm saying
Nip holding it down. If you weren't listening to that Nipsey for this weekend, you was bullshit. If you was out at All Star Weekend and went banging that Nip,
yeah,
that Blue Laces too. If you didn't have it on repeat, and we'll
get
into
to
that later.
We're gonna get to that, man. Deep dive on that Nipsey victory lap.
Yup.
But first things first.
I pop a freak. All the honeys, dummies,
really?
Playboy. Yeah, go ahead.
Drake released his video for God's Plan.
I'm sorry with this shit.
Now, there was a rumor he was in Miami and that he had shot the video at a school. And that also, he had done some a little bit of philanthropy work there, but they didn't people didn't know that the two were the same.
Relax on the philanthropy word.
I'm just saying, that's what people were saying. So the video comes out, shows him in Miami giving away the budget for the video, which is a little under $1 million.
$986,000.
There you go. My question is, was this as hyped as people made it to be?
Yeah, this is big, man. I'm not the biggest Drake fan in the world. I do recognize his talent, and I do recognize his team as far as how they're able to make the media, or excuse me, the needle in social media move. They know handing out $986,000, going into a grocery store saying, hey, everything's free, recorded. They know that that shit is going to make social media move, and I don't fault him one bit for doing this. I don't fault him for, and people are saying, oh, this is a publicity stunt. If he was going to do this and wanted to do it authenticity, or wanted to do if he wanted to do it and be authentic,
there you go,
then he could have just gave the money out and not recorded it or made it a music video. Let me newsflash: Drake's an artist. He's an entertainer. This is what he does. So if he's going to do this, why not capitalize off this? Why not give that out and hey, Drake shook it. Have a whole little moment, a whole little weekend. So I ain't mad at it at all.
And then on top of that, be inspiring to others. This nigga didn't reinvent the wheel with this video. He just improved it. Beyonce has done similar shit, showing her philanthropy work on video. Bryson Tiller bought out a grocery store in Kentucky. Guess what? It was on video. Even if Drake didn't film this, motherfuckers have these things called smartphones, and they would have
somebody
videoed the incident anyway.
Yeah, if it wasn't Drake, video would have been on YouTube.
Easy. JJ Watt, Trey the Truth on the boat. All this is video is everything and everywhere. So, like you said, like you alluded to, his team is A1. They're ahead of that. Hey, instead of making a traditional music video, let's make it this way. Let's make the people the stars of the video, inspire people in the process. He had the challenge to go and do something nice for someone. You can't lose with that. It's not possible. There's no way you saw that and hated on it. It's impossible.
I don't
know how you sleep at night if you did.
I mean, it's possible because people are going to act like that.
How? They can't say he did it for the cameras. Everybody in entertainment life has done shit like this for cameras. Niggas pass out turkeys on camera. They pass out bikes on camera.
Uh-huh.
They can't hate on that portion of it. He just flipped it and made it into a music video. That's it.
And that's the part of it that people hate, because when you do something, when you do something first,
oh,
and people don't understand it, they don't get it, so they ain't gonna hate on it. Like,
that's a horrible way to live.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But you know the trolls, you know the people that hate Drake regardless, they always are going to say, oh, well, this is weird.
We don't count
this. Is strange. It's not a small percentage of people, though, that are saying Drake only did this for the publicity. And my response to that would be, I'm an artist. I'm trying to be popular. Why wouldn't I do something for publicity?
Right. Like, that's the point. I'm in the public. I'm a public figure.
Yeah, like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for publicity. I'm giving out $986,000 for publicity. Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm not giving out $1 million for nothing.
Right. That would be stupid. So if you can kill two birds with one stone, why not?
Facts.
Now,
it don't take nothing away from the giving away part.
Absolutely not. Not for them. You see the look on their faces?
Help them.
You think they give a fuck that this was a music video?
That car don't drive no different, bro. And money don't spend, like them racks don't spend no different, man.
He was out there with the Magic City racks,
man,
nigga.
Come on, dog. It don't spend no different.
Hey, listen, if you, first of all, the video went viral. It was all over Twitter on Friday. Views was crazy. If you're a rapper and you just shot a video and instead of giving out money, you threw it in a strip club, do you feel a certain, do you need to go re-edit that shit? Or are you just like, man, fuck it, man, that's him? Because that kind of puts things in perspective.
But I can't pull it back, though. If I'm NBA young boy, you know what I'm saying, and I just blew whatever it may be, I can't try to go do the Drake thing. I can follow up. But I can't pull back what I already got out there. I can't do that.
Because it puts things in context and it makes some shit look silly.
That's a fact. That is a fact. And Drake is ahead of the curve when he does stuff like that. He's able to take what he think may be cool or corny.
Right.
Throw it out there. He's Drake. People respond to it and that's the wave.
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
That shit, who, somebody gonna bite?
Hell yeah. Nigga, this shit finna go viral. Like, yes.
This is the easiest, dude. This is the easiest marketing campaign on earth. Nicki Minaj did it too when she did the when she paid for people's school.
She paid for college tuition.
Bruh, if you got first of all, they got big budgets.
2 Chainz did it during the holidays when he was doing the day up sweater.
Absolutely. You always win with that. Like, if you got a budget, let's say your budget $200,000. Fuck it, $100,000 for your marketing promo.
Yeah.
Bro, why don't you just go online? Give 10 people $10,000 toward their school. You're gonna get way more waves than a billboard.
Now that's if you are a popular artist.
Of course, absolutely. Right. You got a budget for $100,000, then you're on a certain level.
Okay, yeah, you can't be like Joe Blow out here.
Nah. But that's $100,000. That's a layup.
That's a fact.
I don't know, man. More people need to do that shit. It was dope, though. Real talk. All right, moving on to more innovative people. Like you said, 2 Chainz.
Oh yeah.
Fresh off of his EP. The play Don't Care Who Make It.
Don't care.
He announced his new album, Rap or Go to the League.
Mm.
Okay, we have a theme going on here.
What's that?
Long sports
album titles?
Yeah, well, yeah, sentences for album titles. Other than that, he's got a sports theme going on, man. And he capitalized on top of that by...
The play who Don't Care Who Make It is a drug name, though.
Or that. You can look at it that way.
Okay.
Because Rap or Go to the League is a sports thing, clearly.
That's definitely a sports thing.
Now, he rented a blimp in L.A., which is also a sports thing, over L.A. with his album title splattered across it.
Read Ice Cube's a pimp.
Ba-do-ting. Right. No, but he rented it in L.A. Of course, All-Star Weekend was there. Everybody named Mama saw it. Very innovative. My question is there any way on earth can he top the promo for Pretty Girls Like Trap Music last year?
I think he's doing it now with renting a blimp in there, like, ain't nobody done that recently.
Not on the scale, at least.
Right. And they haven't been 2 Chainz and done it.
Right.
The show on Viceland, the expensive stuff, or whatever the name of that is, and just being more of a personality, I think that's his rollout. His new rollout is now, like, you're buying into 2 Chainz. So even with the Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, having the pink house and how fly that was, more people know who 2 Chainz is now because of that. So this rollout, to me, is way more effective. Just because people are like, oh, 2 Chainz, oh, he rented a blimp.
Right,
oh, my God. Oh, he's really like, people go crazy about this stuff. And when I say people, you know who I mean.
Yeah, of course.
Not us, but people
Everyone,
that are
people
new
in
to
the
him.
Culture, outside the Facts. Culture, etc.
So I think that this is brilliant because it keeps in line of what he has already had going on. But I'm biased because I'm a 2 Chainz fan.
I'm going to say this. He's got me wondering what he's going to do next, which is always a good thing, because I'm not the biggest 2 Chainz fan. So I can only imagine that fans are also thinking the same thing, which is perfect promo. Like you said, everything he's been doing in between time out with the albums, the TV shows, the appearances on TV, it's making him very likable. It's making him very, it's humanizing him, and it's making him more than just music, which is what you want when you want longevity.
Right.
So that is a very dope move. But to answer the initial question, it's impossible to top that pink trap house. He had people come from out of town to take pictures in front of it. He even, like, the term trap really got, like, ran through the wash last year because of him, dude. That trap yoga, that trap salon, trap karaoke. Like, that was all based on 2 Chainz promo for his album. That shit was brilliant. There's no fucking way he's going to top it, and he shouldn't try. He should just be innovative, and if it happens to pop, then cool. He's off to a good start, though. I will say that.
Well, you made a good point. I don't think that he's trying to top it, but I think he's just trying to continue on the vibe. Shout out to the last album. He's trying to keep that vibe going on with everything that started with trap music and just have people buying into 2 Chainz. Like, 2 Chainz shit is a vibe now. It's like, it's not trap music per se. It ain't that.
I know what you're saying.
It ain't rap soul per se. It's just like his own type thing, his own type spin that he putting on it. And I think that's brilliant. He's one of the artists who's been able to reincarnate himself as far as 2 Chainz and used to be Titty Boy, Duffel Bag Boy to Most Expensive. Like, yeah, that's big. And people buy into that. They don't even know who Titty Boy is.
They don't need to.
Yeah, that's true.
All they need to know who two Chainz is.
2 Chainz.
I get to him, though. I'm ready to hear this project. He doesn't have a date yet, but we probably spring.
I say late March, early April, somewhere like that.
I wonder what can he do?
April, May.
Rent out like a stadium or something? Nah, let me think. It's going to be sports related, dude. I'm telling you that now. He's going to do something sports related. I don't know what or how. I'm sitting here trying to think. I don't, like a Hall of Fame type. I don't know.
Somewhat March Madness.
Ooh.
That's what it's going to be. If you're coming out in the spring, it's going to be something tied into March Madness or something like that.
That'll be tough.
That's what I think gonna happen.
Still won't top that Pink Trap House though.
I don't know.
All right, man. Moving on from another artist. Let's take it to DC. Yo boy Wale.
Your artisan.
Okay. It ain't your man.
Who?
He has apparently reportedly been dropped from Atlantic Records. Really? Damn, bro. His status with MMG is still intact, I believe. We have to double check that. But he's dropped from Atlantic. His last album did 28,000 first week. It was a flop, even after the big PYT single with the Michael Jackson sample. I know they cut the check for that. So I know they felt some type of way about it. Yeah, probably so. My question is being dropped in 2018 from a major that big of a deal, given the independent climate that we have now?
I think it depends on who you are. And if you're Wale, you can take this. Because Wale got a fan base, those people that fuck with Wale. Yeah.
28,000 worth?
I don't know about that. That's why he got cut. Or dropped. He has a fan base, though, and that fan base will follow him wherever he goes, whether he's releasing independent music, doing movies, or Nike boot collabs, whatever it may be. I think they're a group of people that are going to follow Wale. But who he get dropped from?
Atlantic.
Atlantic got Cardi B. Yeah. They got Bruno Mars.
Bad Barbie.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got time to play with Wale for him to put out that last
Shine.
Album. I ain't got time to play with it you and trash. You putting out Shine.
Here's the thing, though. They gave him the reins to do what he wanted to do with that album, and then this was the result. Yeah, and he kind
of
shot himself.
As you and I know, when it gets to that point, we've heard plenty of A&R speak. We've heard plenty of people behind the label speak on plenty of different interviews. Once you get to the point where you can decide your own album, you say, hey, I want to go this direction, I want to do this and do that, people are going to be like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
but if it don't pop, you out of here.
Yeah.
And he out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think that, and this is no disrespect to Wale because he's a great artist, but I don't think that he has the ear for music as far as an executive putting an album together that he thinks he has.
Yeah.
I think that he could use Rick Ross' help. I think that he could use other people who've been in the game longer than his help. And I feel like that he one of them dudes that jump out the window.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't one of them dudes that's going to take advice from a nigga that got platinum albums. Like, he could probably go in the studio with J. Cole, and Cole should be like, bro, you should do it like this. And he could be like, nah, bro, I'm going to do it this way because I'm Wale and I should do it this way. Meanwhile, Cole do it this way and he sell a million with no features.
Yeah.
But you Wale and you supposed to be of that vein and do the same thing, but you can't because you ain't doing what you supposed to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, Atlantic had a little bit of a short leash. Because to be honest, his previous 3 or 4 projects were fire. This like Ambition is fire. Album out More About Nothing was good. Like he had some good joints leading up to this. This was terrible. The Shine was terrible, no doubt. So I'm like, okay, they pulled the plug a little quick. They maybe were looking for an out to begin with. That's probably Facts. One reason. And for every reason that we named why 2 Chainz is popular, because of the stuff he does outside of the booth in between projects, Wale doesn't do any of that. People don't tend to like him. Like, they turned him down for public appearances last year with that project. That didn't help his situation.
Right.
It may have to do with his personality. Who knows? I don't know. Like, he seems like a difficult guy to work with. Like, and then, of course, we see him getting emotional when he's not on list, or he feels some type of way when he gets snubbed for XYZ.
Difficult to work with.
All right, that's what he comes off as.
Yeah.
But to be fair, those projects leading up to this were tough, though. He was on about like a 3-album run, though.
But like you said, the lease is short. If you're difficult to work with, and this is anywhere, this ain't just music, or this ain't just Wale. If there's someone that you work with every day, 9 to 5, and they difficult to work with, as soon as a better opportunity presents itself, or as soon as you can remove yourself from that situation, you're gonna do so.
Clearly.
So if that means you're gonna have me pay for a high ass Michael Jackson sample telling me that, oh, I know this is it, and I know this is gonna make it, I know this is gonna pop, and it don't, as soon as it don't pop, yeah, you got 3 great albums with us, that's cool, bro, we like you, we fuck with you, cool, adapt, but you out.
Yep.
I ain't fucking with you. We got all this going on with Cardi. We got all this going on. Like, ain't Uzi on there too?
On Atlantic?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm not sure.
Warner Brothers.
Right, like, so like they got a lot going on where they don't need him at all. So as soon as I wasted this, like, I really wanted it to fail. How much do you want for the Michael Jackson sample? No, let me give you $100,000 more so I can put that much more pressure on him. You want $250,000? Let me give you $500,000. That's how it went.
Yeah, and listen, to be honest, he should probably split ways with MMG too. Whoa, he can do 28,000, bro.
That's a hot take.
If he can't do 28,000 on his own, bro, do
is that what Shine did?
First week. So what'd it do? Probably 20% of that second week? Like, bro, like, listen, do the Big Crit route. Take notes from what Big Crit got going on. He put some of his best work out after he went in a penny, took his time, crafted a project, got a nice little rollout around it. Got a tour he's funding probably dolo, but he's going to, guess what? He's going to take more of the pie. So if you do sell 28,000 on your independent joint, you get way more of the pie.
I kind of think Wale might have too much pride for that.
Man, if ain't nobody Wale, trying to sign him, though, like, hey.
Well, I mean, I kind of think Wale not the dude to be like, I'm going to go to Big Crit independent right and put my own money up.
That's cool now, though, bro.
It's, like, it is, not, but do you see Wale doing that, though?
Bro, who gonna, like, sign, be honest, him? Who picking Wale? Who's picking? Are people calling his phone right now trying to scoop? Like, come on. What, he gonna jump to another rap label? Where he gonna go, dude? Dreamville? Like who gonna pick him up? OVO?
OVO.
It's like, no.
ARL was trying to sign people.
Stop, bro.
He had 500,000 in cash on Instagram trying,
like,
to
the
sign
nigga, people. The nigga was beefing with Meek. And, like, bro, like, niggas not... Bro, nobody wants that headache. It's not worth it.
That's
not
the only. I think that's my bigger point too. Wale is an incredible artist, but I don't think that people want to put up with the headache, though. I don't think that people in 2018 want to have an asset that they feel like never is going to agree with them. Oh, you like the album? Well, I want to change it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you think it's dope now? Well, I still want to change it. Oh, well, I think it's dope now, you want to change it. Like, I feel like that's a lot of back and forth that a lot of people ain't trying to do.
Nah, ain't nobody got time for that. So he just needs to, listen, he need to take his Blue Moon Records or whatever it is that he called. And for real deal.
That's the name of it for real?
Blue Moon, yeah. And get with some of his management, his partners, somebody, the smartest motherfucker that he know, and have him work with him on his next project and stay independent with that shit and push that shit. You can eat for life off that, bro. You Wale.
Yeah, I mean, he could do one independent album, but I think he's going to have to get signed.
Right, bro,
Wale ain't the type of dude that's going to hit the road and do everything. Like, that's the same thing the Styles was saying, the same thing that Jim Jones was saying, and Jada, like... When it's independent, and then when it's, I just don't feel like, and I may be wrong, I don't know Wale personally, but I just feel like that he's not the artist that's gonna do everything.
Like, Wale ain't got no shoe collab right now, bro.
Cause he ain't the artist. Exactly. You proving my point, cause he's not the artist that's gonna do everything. We know him because we know hip hop as the sneakerhead. That's Wale.
That's amazing.
That's a layup. That's a layup.
Tough.
All you gotta do is show up.
Me
and you may be wrong in saying that that's a layup, and there may be stuff that we don't know about, but I can tell you one thing, man. I probably could lean toward it being him being difficult to work with.
I mean, he had a pair of, what was them, Asics or something a couple years
ago?
No,
fuck that. I'm talking about now.
Some mics.
Real big dog collabs, because Wale is a sneaker head. Why ain't no collabs? You see what I'm like? I feel like he's difficult to work with, so all of those things take away from him going to the independent route, because people are going to have to work with him directly, not the label, not MMG, none of that. They got to work with Wale, and when you get to that point, I think Wale knows it, and people know it, and he can't do that.
Travis Scott got Jordans, and I've never even heard him talk before. So it's almost like you're just better off just being like mute. Niggas would rather be mute than difficult.
I don't believe Travis Scott got Jordans.
He got some foes on the way.
Let me tell you what they
got some Toronto's too.
What they look like?
The fours? Nigga, hard. The fuck? That is hard to fuck them up.
It's Travis Scott though.
bro, he not got no input. Nigga, just, hey, put these on.
Just put his name on.
Put these on.
You got a baby by the Kardashians. Just put your name on.
Put these on, bro. And we're going to drop these in 2 months, nigga, for $400 and make 1,000 pairs, and they're going to go up crazy. All right, man, before we hit this music break, I know everybody saw that $100,000 receipt floating around the internet. That was Jay-Z's receipt, spent on a shitload of champagne, namely Ace of Spades champagne, the company that he owns. He balled out for OG Juan's birthday. That's the president of Roc Nation Sports. At the Playroom Lounge, spent $91,000 on
racks on 40 bottles of Ace of Spades.
On his own liquor. Is spending almost $100,000 on your own liquor baller or backwards?
First of all, those Travis Scott Jordans that we mentioned in the last segment were trash. The blue jeans ones?
No, he debuted them. He's got some actual fours that's putting to come out.
I just googled.
Those Levi's are hard as fuck. I don't know what you're talking about.
And the blue jeans ones that came up and they trash. Man, but with that being said, who are we talking about?
Hove, baller or backwards?
Yeah, $91,000. This is absolutely balling. There's a new brand of Ace of Spades coming out, the Rosé brand.
They're making it
in limited editions.
So it's not going to be everywhere.
And to roll it out, you know what Hove does? Hove goes to the club and spends that much on 40 bottles of his champagne and gives the fucking waiter an $11,000 tip.
That's real.
You know why? I'm shaking it. I'm Hove. This is life. Ain't nothing wrong with this. Because you know what happens? He owns the company. At the end of the day, whether they charging $100 or $1,200 for that bottle, he getting a cut of it.
That's a fact.
And he can afford, like, what's 11,000 of a billion? Is it like 1%?
Fuck no.
11,000 of a billion?
That's not 1% at all.
10, maybe? Is it 10%?
No, it's less.
Oh, it's not even that.
Hell no.
So, imagine, that's like going to the club and normal people spending $100.
Yeah.
Like, you can afford that. I mean, if you're in the club.
Oh, it's light work.
You should be able to if you're in the club and you popping bottles. You should be able to afford a $100 tab.
Yeah.
So, them coming back to Jay-Z with $11,000 tab is just like him getting a $100 tab. I got $1 billion combined with my wife.
Yeah, 91 racks on his level is light work. But to be fair, he's probably gotten an unlimited amount of free Ace because he owns the company. So splurging for his partner birthday, who's, if I'm not mistaken, been down since day one.
Who?
OG One.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is light work. What people didn't realize, though, was that before they even got to the club, they ate dinner at Zumba, and that bill was 13 stacks.
All on hold.
All on hold. Better and be. They also ate at Made in Mexico, and that bill was 9 bands.
Let's go.
So 100 racks plus.
Run it up.
Hey, but hold on real quick, though. Bottles in the club, so overrated. How much is Ace? $250? $250. Down here is $250, $260.
You can get the gold one for under $300.
That's
anywhere.
And it was, what was it on there, like $1,200?
Mm-hmm.
And the club is $1,200.
That's 2 times. But no, God, that's way more than 2 times. My math is awful, if y'all didn't know. But
it's amazing.
$1,200 a bottle, and you can get it for two outside the club.
That's,
why not buy the bottle up? Because can't nobody see you on the Instagram.
You going to bring them in? You going to smuggle them in?
No, I'm saying buy it and drink it. I don't give a fuck.
All beforehand?
The satisfaction in it is drinking it.
No, the not satisfaction people, is stunned. Let's be honest.
That's people seeing.
Yeah, bro, hold on. Real quick.
I live a different life. I ain't going to lie.
Shout out my homie Plaza. We was in Vegas. I brought the Ace of Spades with me.
You put it on the plane and everything?
No, I just put it in the luggage.
Are you?
Not the carry-on, the luggage. Gotcha. Luggage.
Gotcha.
Dude, it was, first of all, I was $250, but it had just came out, and the bottle is gold. You cannot miss it. We was on the strip with the champagne, and every other person stopped me and asked me what that was. Like, every other person. I strictly did that to stunt. I could give a shit about the champagne. I'm not going to lie. I was getting married. It was time to shake Vegas.
See, now,
my
now,
first time
there
in Vegas.
You are. You're adding stuff to it. You were married.
It was a reason
special,
for it.
Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, and that's a special occasion.
Absolutely.
Other than that, you, Animal Brown, Veggie Jackson, whatever you're calling yourself today, you're not just like.
For no reason?
If I were to come in here today doing the podcast and I just like, well, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to buy a bottle of Ace. and me and you go drink it while we doing the podcast. You're not going to record it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't about that. It's not about shit. I'm sitting right here drinking Ace doing my podcast.
Fuck it, man.
That's more so what it's about. Like, you ain't gonna like take 9 pictures right here just because we right here drinking Ace. That's all I'm saying. When you do have it and this is an occasion, of course, take your pictures, have fun. But if you're able to do so and it's just a part of what it is.
Because we wouldn't have known about this if the waitress hadn't, or waiter hadn't taken a picture of the what's name. We wouldn't even know about this.
Yeah, like if somebody hadn't taken a picture of the $91,000 tab, then who knows? Like, Hov didn't do that. Then nobody with him do that, because that's light work. That's every day.
I'm taking the Ace with me to Wakanda. Shaking it.
Long as Lupita there. Can we talk? Hey. Man, hey, Lupita.
Hey, I'm going to come clean.
Can we go with the glow up?
Listen, I'm going to keep it all the way up book. Every tweet that was about how niggas weren't paying attention to Lupita before now was about me.
Yeah,
keep it all the way 100.
I'm on a bandwagon. No, and she thick.
And man, Eesh. What? Shout out Lupita, man. She looked amazing in that movie.
I'm fucking with her strong.
Amazing. All right, man. Let's hit this music break. We got Key Glock. I've been seeing this guy's name
Key
a lot.
Glock, man.
Shout out my man Plaza. Man. He talking about Key Glock a couple months ago.
Paper Route Empire, man. Shout out Trump.
Oh, he signed the Dolph?
Too. Yeah, it's Dolph boy. Niggas get shot every day, B.
Man.
It's Dolph new one, too, just in case y'all were wondering.
This is joint. It's called That's Nothing. Let's check it out.
Blue hunnids, bust out my pants. I turned your bitch to a fan. I turned them dimes into bands. Since knee high, bitch, I been a man. Little nigga flat Peter Pan. I'm texting her Uncle Sam. Tell a bitch get to stepping like Pam. I run it up, I call the cramp. Been getting money, that's nothing. Cocky ass nigga, hold up. Since a newborn, I been thugging. I was taking shit in my huggies. Since a newborn, I been thugging. I was taking shit in my huggies. Cocky ass nigga, hold up. Been getting money, that's nothing. My mama locked down in the fed.
Tamika.
I had to go get the bread.
Get it.
Grandma was all on my ass. I had to stash sandwich bags. I never hung out with the crowd.
Never.
I trapped them grams on my grams. My cousin them told me slow down. Told them fuck that shit, I need it now. I'm still a little nigga getting paid. I'm still a little nigga they hate. And I'm still a little nigga gon' pull up and spray. Fuck on this bitch and then laugh in his face. Cardio shades and I'm black like I'm Blade. Phone little bitch claim me.
All right, man, I'm straight out of the M-Town, man. That was Key Glock. That's Nothing.
Young Key Glockery, what you think about that?
I thought that was nothing.
You ain't think that was nothing?
Nah, I've heard his tapes before, though. He cool.
But
it sounded like Dolph doing him a favor.
Young Dolph Jr., that's Dolph's cousin through marriage.
That makes so much sense. Okay, that makes
Which
sense.
Which means then. Either his cousin was married to somebody.
If his cousin through
knows.
Marriage and his auntie is married and then she, yeah, I don't fucking
something
know.
Something that we don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, okay, it was cool.
Yeah, y'all check out that Key Glock, man. We are back. This is the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, it's your boy Animal Brown, man. The moment we've been waiting for is here.
Victory Lap,
baby. Yes, yes, yes. The most anticipated album so far.
Stand up.
Of 2018.
Yeah.
Let's get straight to it, man. What were your expectations of this project leading into it? The 8 years it took to get here.
I ain't gonna lie, as long as it took for Victory Lap to come out, and there's no shade to Nipsey because he did release projects in between time, but Victory Lap was definitely the focus and we were able to tell that, but I felt like as long as it took that I was gonna be underwhelmed. That's how I felt initially going into it. I didn't think that he would be able to live up to the hype of saying I'm independent, I'm Nipsey, I'm Slauson, I'm Compton, but whatever it may be, and I just didn't think that he would be able to live up to that, and surprisingly he did. Like, I'm very impressed by what I heard. What are your initial reactions from it?
Well, my expectations leading up to it were, I thought, I liked the single Rap Niggas. I liked a couple of the songs that had been released prior. The song with YG, mm-hmm. Grinding All My Life. I was fans of all those. I was like, okay, I'm fucking with it. I like where this is going. I was still interested to see what the whole project was going to sound like. The last time we heard him, Mailbox Money, Crenshaw, both of those were fire. Thanks. So I had no doubt that he can hold a whole tape. I didn't think he had fallen off or forgotten how to make music or rap. And then if you remember on a couple of podcasts, people were teasing that there was a classic coming out of the West Coast. And we were like, damn, who they talking about? So the buzz was there with that as well. And I know there was a bidding war with the label. So I felt like he had some hot shit on his hands.
And he knew that.
Clearly, he had some hot shit on his hands. Mm-hmm. When I first, my first listen to it, I thought it was good, not great. My very first listen. And I thought people were gassing it up a little bit. I was like, yo, y'all got to slow down. You know how niggas do.
But people waited on it so long. And I think that Nipsey's is such a well-respected artist. Plus, people love him so much. Like, people are clinging on to the Nipsey movement, the independent thing, and they want that to be successful. So, like you said, as soon as it came out or a couple of listens in, people were like, oh, this is a classic. This is banging. This is everything that I expected. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm like you on the initial.
Yeah, very first listen. I was like, okay.
I was like, it's cool. It's about what I expected from Nipsey. It's like Mailbox Money or whatever it may be. But I got caught up on Blue Laces too, which is my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, that shit is crazy.
And I think that kind of took away from my grade on the album, so I had to move past that in the second listen, and I came back with something different.
I will say this. The second listen, I was like, okay. Third listen, I was like, whoa, hold on now. Like, this shit is... this shit is something special. Now, I'll say this. It's been years since he dropped, and sometimes that can hurt your career. But in those times that he... I mean, in that time that he spent not releasing music, he's been doing other shit, and he's become one of my favorite rappers outside the booth with the investments in tech,
stuff, interviews and
the
stuff.
Interviews,
like that.
The clothing store, all with the documentary that came along with, like, all of that in between. Dude has become one of my favorite rappers without even releasing a song. So I was like, damn. So that's how he brilliantly stayed relevant in between time, keeping the anticipation up for this. It never really wavered. Usually when somebody take 2-3 years, you'd be like, all right, I'm over it. It starts getting a detox level because so much music comes at us. But in this instance, it worked to his favor because he played the game, the media game, the interview game, the documentary game. He played that flawlessly in between time. You said Blue Laces 2 was your favorite joint on there. What's some other highlights on the album?
Some other highlights on there. I like that he didn't have a lot of features. That's one thing that I did appreciate from there, because I feel like with an album this anticipated, you can't dilute it with a lot of different features on there. With that being said, one of my other favorite songs has a feature, Double Up, with Belly and Dom on there. I love that.
I'm glad he had Dom on there.
Yeah, because Dom did his thing.
Yeah.
I like Loaded Bases with CeeLo. Of course, Blue Laces 2, that shit was fire. I feel like he wasted a Puff feature. I don't need Puff to rap necessarily when I see featuring Puff, but I at least need him to talk hella Puff Daddy shit.
Mm-hmm.
He got to come in and do the Puff Daddy shit. I love Kendrick verse. Love that.
That was Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick right there.
Yeah,
believe that.
It's just simple Kendrick Lamar.
No, that was Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick. Only the good Kendrick.
Only thing I'm disappointed about, one no Mozzie on here. I needed some Mozzie. I feel like the Nipsey and Mozzie would have made a great song together.
Man, I'll say this. My highlights, Blue Laces 2, obviously. Right Hand to God, the bonus track is fire.
That's a fact.
And the song with CeeLo. Like, that shit.
CeeLo bodied that.
CeeLo undefeated with these rap hooks, dog.
Bodied that.
Like, dude, like, from raw shit to this, like, dude does not miss with that shit. That shit is fire. If I had to nitpick on something I didn't like, Keys to the City 2, I'm good off of.
I like that.
That's some slaw. I don't know who that is at the beginning. Shout out to them, but that shit, that ain't nothing.
I ain't gonna lie, I ain't mad at that.
I like Hustle and Motivate, where he flipped the J sample. Shout out to Street Symphony, friend of the show, who produced that song. But the hook, that almost jacked it, bro. Like, the nigga doing the Frank Ocean impression. Just get Frank Ocean or not.
Did you need Frank Ocean, or did you just not need him on there?
No, because hearing the fake Frank Ocean had me thinking, damn, Frank Ocean would have bodied this. Yeah. That nigga would have bodied this. The faux Frank Ocean, that wasn't nothing. And I could have used one or two more features. I could have used Game, somebody from the West Coast, like Mozzie, Game. And then I'm gonna be honest, on Bases Loaded or Loaded Bases, I need Jay-Z on that, bro. Like, with Jay fucking with Nipsey's movement, where they bought 100 CDs of the Crenshaw or whatever it was, the Mailbox Money, I can't remember. And then the title documentary exclusive with the Nipsey live show. And I needed them two to get into the studio. Get on this fucking... Can you picture him on that Loaded Bases with CeeLo? He would have fucking murdered that with the Yankee references.
That is a fact.
Dude. Let me tell you why I'm starving for a Jay verse somewhere on this album. Because this album gave me hints of about 2 or 3 Jay projects, bro.
Really?
I'm going to tell you. it gave me the retrospective nature of some of those soul sample tracks. That gave me hints of Blueprint. The motivational speaking he's doing on here. It's kind of giving me a 30-year-old West Coast version of 444. Then the mic drop vibe of the whole, the victory lap vibe of the whole album.
Blackout.
Bruh, it's giving me blackout. Like, what more can I, I don't need nothing else to say. I can drop this and go do some tech shit. Like, that's what, like, it was a mic drop, dude, especially toward the end. Oh, my God. Like, the joints toward the end made me literally think, I'm lapping niggas. I'm ahead by a mile. I'm just really just taking my time to get to this finish line just to let this moment marinate.
Okay. So you bring up a great point in what you say as far as let me drop this rap and let me go do this tech shit. So I would ask you this, being the ultimate music connoisseur as far as Mr. Listen to everything that comes out.
Yep.
We got mixtapes from Nipsey, and we know, being students of the game, what Nipsey does outside of rap. So we've been waiting on Victory Lap for how many years? It comes out, comes through, did his thing.
Yep.
If Nipsey would have never dropped another album, would he be a successful rapper? If he go on to do
His career, and if he retired today.
Yeah, if he done off Victory Lap, if he came out next week and was like, you know what, this is exactly what I wanted to do with it, give Atlantic the rights to it, they can make their money off of it, but I'm done with this rap shit, I got tech shit, I got clothes, I'm trying to buy back Slauson,
yeah.
I got businesses all through Compton and whatever it may be, I don't have time to rap.
Yeah,
would he be a successful rapper?
His career will be considered successful, absolutely.
One album.
Well, the mixtapes, let's be honest, mixtapes in this day and age are album.
Because, like, all of his stuff was original music.
That's true.
Mostly, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Mailbox Money, that's a fucking album. Come on now. We know it doesn't technically have a barcode, but stop.
And Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, clearly. And even leading up to when he was warming up with the Bullets Ain't Got No Names series. That's what put me on him in the first place. Bullets Ain't Got No Names 3.5 is when I first heard Nipsey Hussle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, this nigga cold. Like, I'm fucking with dude. So when you combine all of that, roll that up into a resume, in addition to what he's done on the outside, and let's be honest, not many people break through on the West like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that, like, the West is still not crowded like that, mm-hmm. as maybe the South or New York or Midwest is.
More coming on now. Let me ask you this. Would you be disappointed as a rap?
Of course, because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the music.
But knowing that he could go do a lot more than just his rap stuff.
I think that's amazing too.
Uh-huh.
Like, he can go ahead and do the Black Panther shit. You know what I'm saying? with no sport, I don't want to blow it. But he can do that shit.
Right.
And he's working on the STEM joints that we mentioned a couple episodes mm-hmm. ago. So he can go and do bigger and better things, but I still would like some music just to be stingy.
Just as a hip hop head.
Absolutely. Because, I mean,
I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't be mad. And I don't say this lightly, because I understand how cold Nipsey is and what he brings to the game for the West Coast, but also knowing his background and what he has done outside of rap, I wouldn't be mad if I never heard another album from him.
You would understand it.
I totally would understand it, but I want to be able to see what he's doing. I want the vlogs, the interviews, the books,
documentaries,
TV shows, whatever it may be. You ain't got to rap to me about it. However you can present this in 2018, I'm here for it and I want to see it. So I wouldn't be that disappointed as a fan, because I'm a fan of the whole movement.
Right, for
sure.
He
ain't just got to rap to me.
Now, next time I'm in L.A., there's no way I'm not going to the marathon store.
That's a fact. I'm going to L.A. April 20th.
There's no way I'm not going
to
the store.
I'm going to the store. We there.
Facts.
If you want to hop in, 420, we going to L.A.
That's dope. Like that. So, like, I'm buying into all of that. Now, all of this is not to say that I think he's about to retire and fucking hang up the mic. I don't think that, but that this album gave me that feel. But it was supposed to. It's called Victory Lap. It's supposed to give me that feel like, yo, I'm winning this shit. I'm winning the game of life. And I'm putting other people on to how I got to this position. And it's like a street, younger West Coast version of 444, just a little bit. Minus the Becky with the good hair and all that shit. But it lived up to expectations. That's rare when you think about it. When does shit actually live up? When does something have high ass expectations and they actually meet or exceed it?
I ain't gonna lie, I don't get the street 444 shit.
That's a fact.
I don't get that though, because niggas acting like Jay in the street, nigga. He's just an old street nigga.
That's my point.
So you saying that Nipsey is the new?
Yeah, he got a song called Rap Niggas, bro. Like, he's like, that's not on 440. That's not on a 47-year-old 444. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that it has the same tone as 444 either, though. Like, Nipsey owned.
I'm only talking about pieces. It's got elements. Oh,
you just saying that the small places where he does say the
absolutely the with stuff. The okay. Samples with the right. Motivational speaker talking about like that right, stuff man. Like that, and he's giving us game about investing and things of that. Like, people weren't doing that like that, not on this level. Yeah. So that's what I mean by that. And like, people put more of an emphasis on that now because it's positive. You know what I'm saying? It's uplifting, but he can mix it up because he's still not too far removed from the other stuff. So he can do the video with the shirts off and the flags in the video, but still turn around and do this because he's not that far removed. Jay-Z's too far removed to do shit like that. Yeah. He's not wearing a bulletproof vest like whole with the Rolex.
Okay, I'm glad you got to that. We got to this point because I want to talk about this a little bit. That's a part of their culture. As Nipsey said on one of his songs, I'm a third generation gangbanger. So I can go to my grandma, and my grandma could be like, "Nah, you can't wear that color in this neighborhood." Your grandma.
Right.
Because she a part of that, and it's part of her fabric. So Nip was talking about the whole thing with Cardi B. We talked about that, right? We did talk about that.
I don't remember.
Well, Cardi B was like getting came at because she said the shit that Bloods say amongst Bloods talking about Crips, and it was disrespectful to Crip people, and Crip people were getting at her on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. And Nipsey was on the radio, and they were asking him about this, and Nipsey said, look, if she really about that life and that's what she do, she a part of that, then she just needs to explain to some Crip people, it wasn't no disrespect, this is how we talk amongst each other.
Yeah.
And that needs to be said as far as gangbanging culture. Now, I like the fact that Nipsey was able to explain that in layman's terms.
Facts.
Well, not everybody that don't know what's going on and wasn't able to get there, like, well, why are they going at Cardi? She's just a rapper. There's certain stuff that you can and cannot do when you affiliate yourself with what you affiliate yourself with.
Yeah.
And he was able to explain, and I think that was dope, too.
I agree. Check out the On Deck TV podcast Instagram page if you're clueless as to what the fuck we're talking about. Just watch the clip. So where you don't think he's going to retire? Is he going to take just assuming he doesn't?
I would take a lot of time off if I was him. And kind of like start putting, okay, let me take that back. I take as much time as I needed, just as long as the pieces were together as far as what I want in place. Because what he got going on is going to be a lot bigger than rap in his next rap album. So I feel like that he don't need to focus on album number two just because he's going to get a great feedback from this album. He still need to continue on with what he got going on with the businesses and the motivational speak and the books and those things.
If the Victory Lap tour comes to the A, are you going?
Yes.
Yeah, count me in. I'll be in that motherfucker
like
too.
Swimwear.
That's a fact. All right, man, let us know what you guys think. Instagram, Twitter, at On Deck TV Podcast, and of course, Facebook. Join the group. It's titled Rap Chat. We like to talk about some of the conversations that we had on here. Kind of take them over there. Let us know what you think, man. Did it live up to the expectations? Are people gassing it? Were you let down? Do you like it more than we did? Talk to us. Any of that shit.
Yeah, y'all let us know, man. In the Rap Chat you said on
Absolutely.
Facebook. Check that out.
Song break number two, people. Schoolie.
Young Schoolie.
This is Apprentice Day, man. It's 2 Chainz Apprentice.
True.
He's got a joint called Racist. Okay.
Ain't talking about nothing deep on there. Don't get too excited.
Okay. Well, shit.
Don't
right.
get away. Just relax.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be talking about something.
No, it's not White Man's World at all. All
right, man, let's hear it, man. Check out Racist by Schoolie.
I'm talking old school, them old shoes, talking A6, face it. You basic, but you wasted.
One bad bitch, not average, got me chasing. White girls, black cars, racist.
Yo, bitch ain't the same, yeah. My hoe and yo hoe ain't the same, yeah. My flow and yo flow ain't the same, yeah. See my flow, it can't be tame, yeah. Now eyes closed, let it rain, yeah. Ride slow, let me bang, yeah. My click ain't the click, you can claim, yeah. Ride slick. Time shift, let it rain. Yeah, she my bitch.
Whoa, yo bitch ain't the same, dawg. My clique with your bitch, it's a game, dawg. Saw me with her, caught her phone, watch it rain, dawg. You's a lame, dawg. We ain't the same, dawg.
I go insane, dawg. Bitch, I'm a tame, dawg. Yo bitch at the rain, dawg. She got the main, dawg.
Schooling with the tooling.
All right, that was young. That was Schoolie
with the Thule.
It was called Racist.
Yeah,
that shit was
banging. Young Schoolie with the Thule.
That shit was trash, bro.
You didn't like it,
nigga? No. What was that? What was he doing? What was he talking about?
Racist, black,
no,
white.
No, he wasn't.
Black rolling, white wrist.
White,
white rolling, black wrist. Whatever.
White rolling.
Schoolie with the Thule, man. Nah, y'all check out Schoolie, man.
That shit was garbage. All right. Did you see?
Did I see?
Before we get out of here,
what's that?
Birdman, Apple Music. Before anything,
I seen the new Big Timers dropped on there.
Documentary. The yes, that too. Big Timers catalog is now on streaming sites after 100 years of not being on there. Birdman released the Before Anything documentary on Apple Music. Did you get a chance to watch it? What did you think?
I checked out about 45 minutes left. It's like 2 hours long.
It's definitely not 2 hours, but
how long? Well, I mean, it's like a minute and 18, some or hour 18, something like that.
Right.
But I checked out because this shit was just talking about baby as a child, which I cared nothing about. It didn't give me any insight into anything that we cared about as fans of Cash Money. I think this was a this was one of those things that people that's running for office put out and try to get you to think of them in a positive light. This is what this was. Like, we know you still owe Bird. Well, you still owe Wayne money, dude. Like, this ain't changing anything that you've done. And I just think that he did this to get painted in a positive light, and it wasn't good to me.
Now, here's the thing. I made it to about 45 minutes. And it's called Before Anything. So the title told us what it was going to be. It was going to be pre-Cash Money shit. And it talked about his childhood and how he came up and his mom, his dad. And it had his friends on there giving testimonies or whatnot. And it was a couple of tidbits in there that was kind of cool. I didn't know he had 6-7 cars when he was a teenager. I didn't know he had got locked up for them 18 months. It was a couple of things on there, but this really could have been 20 minutes. Could have been real short, straight to the point. Now, here's the thing. This is part of a trilogy. Part 2 will dive more into actual early Cash Money shit.
It's part of a trilogy.
Yeah, part 3, it's kind of like that OJ shit on ESPN. Part 3 will go into, like, Young Money, like, up until now, like, present day Young Money shit, 2000s. So, that in that context, it makes more sense, and I wish they would have led with that.
I was going to say, I don't even believe that the other two going to come out.
Ah, well, then that's pointless, then.
Unless they already have filmed the other two just based off the track record, I don't even think we ever going to see those.
I think if they would have led off with this as part one of a trilogy, we'd be looking at this totally different.
That is a fact.
Because I feel like I was blindsided.
I would have finished watching it.
That's a fact.
If that was the case. I totally would have finished watching it if that was the case.
I feel like I was blindsided. The trailer shows Hot Boy shit. So I guess what I was looking for, I was looking for Hot Boy shit.
Right.
I should have known that
at least Cash Money shit.
It's anything.
I didn't hear nothing but old, like, Young Baby shit.
Yeah, it was like friends of his mama and stuff. I was like, bruh.
Yeah, I ain't care about, like,
bro, no, I don't need an hour and 18 minutes of this,
yeah,
though.
No,
that's just too long.
I don't care about Baby walking around the Magnolia selling shit at 4 years old. I don't care. I promise you, I don't.
Baby has been out more lately. He was on Beats 1 with Ebro, and he was on Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams was scared to death of Birdman because she tried to ask him that rumor mill shit with Tony Braxton. He was kind of entertaining the Tony Braxton shit, but when she asked about the Wayne shit, man, he was like, "I'm a gangster. I can't answer." They were like, "Oh my god!" Like, the crowd was like,
"What?"
Hey, the crowd was scared and everything. I was crying. But he took his goals out, though. He took his grill out. I'm disappointed.
I didn't know he could do that.
I didn't think he could. I mean, you could take him as permanent.
No, he said, nah, fuck no.
That was his teeth?
He said they was real. Yeah, he said it was his teeth.
No fucking way.
Nah, man, that's some New Orleans, Louisiana shit. He said that was real, so I don't know how he did that. I mean, but he do got a lot of money, too. So.
He got a lot of Wayne money.
Yes, true. He does have a lot of Wayne's money.
So when she asked him about that, nigga, their asses got real tight up in Wendy Williams' show.
I think all that's a facade. Like, what? What is Birdman gonna do? He gonna hit Wendy Williams? He gonna beat somebody up in there, man? Relax, bro. Like,
she was scared of the motherfucker. Remember when Katie Couric interviewed Lil Wayne and he said he was a gangster on there? I be feeling like niggas be trying too hard, bro. You talking to Katie Couric, bro.
I feel like if you interview a real gangster and he has to say that he's a gangster, then he's not a gangster. I just feel like that. That's just how I feel. There's never a point in time where you're gonna interview somebody that's a real gangster ass nigga. He gonna be like, man, you know what? I'm a gangster. It ain't gonna happen, dude. It does not happen. Gang, like, you know, gangster ass niggas when you see them, dude. And they're like, they ain't got to tell you. You better figure that shit out before it's too late.
That shit was crazy, man. So y'all check that out. The documentary. To wrap up the documentary, it was about 45 minutes too long. 20 minutes, I'd have been cool. Or if they would have led with it was a trilogy.
Like a vlog.
That's what I'm saying, like a vlog.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I would have done that. 19-minute vlog on YouTube, I'd have been cool.
And then leading into an hour show about Cash Money, Hot Boys.
I need all that. New Orleans music Yellow scene Boy, at the time.
Yeah, all
no
the
limit.
Stuff before, yeah, all the killings and stuff disposed that happened. Damn. Give me all of
I
that.
I say none about that.
Yeah, I want all that, though.
Okay.
I need the underground New Orleans shit.
He's not going to give
you
that,
to
bro.
The mainstream.
He's
shit.
Not
he got to.
Nah.
Because we need to know how he became Baby and Cash Money. Like,
not nothing that's going to incriminate him.
I mean, not incriminate. I ain't tell him to say, yeah, I sent my brother to kill us, dude, allegedly. I ain't going to be like that, but, you know, y'all check that out on YouTube if y'all want to figure that out. But what else we got?
We ain't going to never get that shit. New music out, dropping Friday. Your boy, Tekashi 69.
Who's that?
Day 69.
Who's that?
That's your boy, man. Out in L.A. running from the Crips.
Oh, the nigga with the hair.
Allegedly. I thought that was bullshit, man. That was a great promo for an album coming out in 4 days.
That's a fact.
Great promo.
Because you know what? I don't even think the real gangster ass niggas out of L.A. studying, dude.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that they're going to like. If it's like when Jamie Foxx saying he was out there with Plies and that happens.
Right.
Or if it's like 50 Cent. If it's like Bad Boy and they tell him they got to check in.
Right.
This dude right here, Tekashi 6ix9ine, you got one hot like YouTube video and you got to check in with, like, no one knows you. No one expects you to check in because you ain't hot like that.
I guess.
In my opinion.
We'll see what when this tape drops. Snoop Dogg has an EP out called 220.
Let's go, Coach Snoop.
You prepare for that Gospel Snoop that's around the corner?
That's what that is.
No.
Coach Snoop has got me motivated to try to get into coaching youth football. I'm not listening to or prepared for any youth music from Snoop.
Young Dolph EP dropped. Oh, excuse me. Was that an EP or a project? That was a full project.
I think it was an EP.
Oh, really?
Yep. Niggas get shot every day, B.
Man, that was. Who's milking their shooting more? Shout out to Big Jeff for this question. Who's milking their shooting more, Young Dolph or Trav?
Dolph.
Easy.
Because Dolph's, like, he naming projects behind it. And, like, Trav Slick wish he never went to that Irving Plaza.
That's
that
a
night.
Fact.
He wish he never went there.
That's a fact.
He wished that people were still able to call him a fake rap dude and not have any. Biased or not have any just behind it. That's what he wishes.
Young Dolph milking this like a motherfucker. All right, Tiger, yo boy, Kyoto.
That's the name of that?
I listened to this dude, and he's singing on all the songs.
He should have been called That's My Baby.
Nah, it should have been called Garbage.
That's My Baby? Man, that would have been fire.
Why?
Cause didn't he do, what's her name?
Kylie?
Yeah.
Oh, you talking about what,
the chick just had the baby by,
so disrespectful.
By Travis Scott. He already suing. He said that that's his baby.
Fuck out of here.
Dude, he said he wants a paternity test and he's saying that that's not Travis Scott's child, but that's his child.
You can't be saying shit like that.
Bro, he should have came out with a tape, That's My Baby.
You can't say shit like that.
Ah, fuck it. What are you gonna do?
Travis Scott got fired on him on site.
That's my baby.
Travis Scott got fired on him and stomped him out with them.
He already done filed a petition to say that's his child. He want a blood test.
He got
That's My Baby is wild.
He got to stomp him out in the Levi Jordan.
That's
dude.
My baby.
But it's trash as fuck though. Lonzo Ball dropped Born to Ball.
Let's go. So
did you listen to it?
Big Ball. Hell no. Listen to that shit.
It's cool for the kids. It's cool
for
the kids.
I mean, he's 19 years old,
yeah,
man.
Young,
let's
boy.
Like.
It's good, clean, like, but modern rap, though.
I don't like that people are trying to say, well, Coach Locke, this is for you. They ain't going to call people on it. But people are trying to be like, well, he can't rap and do NBA. And if he doesn't make the All-Star team, then you know what? I'm going to blame this rap album. Get the fuck out of here, man. People have hobbies, dude. People in the NFL don't only play football, dude. You see the other people doing, like, sports and all that shit in the offseason, but Lonzo Ball can't rap? Come on, man.
They're just saying it's too soon. That's all.
No,
that's all.
It's not.
You're not established.
Bro, it's 2018. I can make a rap album from my iPhone. Like, it don't take a lot. And this nigga, he's not Lil Wayne. You know what I'm saying?
Why would you want to make a
rap? Because I'm Lonzo Ball. I got a big baller brand. His daddy probably told him to do it.
Yeah, it's a marketing
point. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I'm going to put an album out. 15 songs. You going to like hate it or love it. They going to talk about it on all the NBA shows on ESPN. And I'm going to come back from my injury and I'm going to hoop.
We'll see.
Ain't no big deal. I didn't take years out of my fucking time to like record this album and be a rap. I'm not trying to be Nas, dude. This dude look up to the Migos. The aspirations aren't that high.
Oh, now wait. Now the Migos slander stops here.
I mean, but that, I don't. How long do I gotta really put in work to record a Migos album?
Stop.
A day?
Don't do that. Don't compare Lonzo Ball skills to Migos.
I mean, he could feature on the album.
Fuck no. What else? G Herbo Humble Beast Deluxe Edition.
Let's go, Herbo.
I see you, boy. Check that out. He got some good joints. He added like 8-9 songs.
I was gonna say, why did he just didn't drop them 8 songs by himself?
Yeah, it should have been stupid. Humble Beast 2.
Yeah, like just drop them 8 songs, bro. We don't need 40 songs from you.
Yeah,
again.
I ain't understand that. I guess he's just trying to get them streams up for the album. YFN Lucci, Freedom.
Wait. G Herbo looked just like Aaron Gordon, though. I put that in the group chat. People act like they ain't want to respond.
Aaron Gordon.
The dunk.
For the Magic?
Yes.
No, he don't.
Bro, go look at this All-Star Saturday night. Aaron Gordon had on the shit that G Herbo be wearing. Sitting right down the sideline. They look just alike.
Nah.
I'm telling you.
Aaron Gordon is mixed, bro.
G Herbo light skin. What do you mean? You act like he Kunta Kinte or something, dude. What you got for the last? What you got for the last?
YFN Lucci, Free the Sun EP. I tried. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I wasn't feeling it.
I ain't no big Lucci fan though. So
I like Lucci. He got talent. I feel like dude taking his shine with that Hardaway song, that could have been his.
You feel like he should have gave him that song?
Nah, it just sounds like a Lucci song. Black Panther vinyl soundtrack.
I'm waiting on that
pre-sale. That's kind of dope though. I'm
like 10 yet. Yep.
That soundtrack is fire. And last but not least, on TV, Death Row Chronicles. It's coming on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So part 1, part 2, part 3.
I'm tired, dog. I'm tired of the Death Row, Tupac, Biggie documentaries. Let's solve it and get the shit out of here.
It's already been solved.
Stop talking about it.
This is from the perspective of Suge Knight, allegedly.
I don't need another perspective. I don't need Pac. I don't need it, dude. God, it's over.
Yeah, you know USA got the Pac and Big joint in a couple weeks.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's a little bit of overload. I'm going to come clean.
It is.
100%. What you got on deck for the weekend?
What's this weekend coming up? Nothing special going on? I'm going to a play this weekend, actually. The guy that did Fences, I'm going to see one of his plays. So, see how that goes.
I might fuck with that.
I might fuck
with that. Man, Spike Lee was here last night.
They did School Days.
He did School Days, and I'm hot because my gal went. But I was like, nah, I'm good because I've never seen School Days.
You're not black. You don't know what it's about HBCUs.
And I'm mad because he was there after the show taking pictures and signing shit. And I could have brought my Do the Right Thing 3s and had him sign it. That would have been killing.
Yeah, it
been perfect man cave shit. That's didn't think about it till today, though.
And you're hot.
Hot about it. This weekend, hopefully it's 70 degrees again. Drop the top. I don't have a drop top, but if I did, I would drop it.
Let the windows down. Let the music up.
Same difference. I'm chilling, though. I'm trying to get some. Man, Jordan, you're killing me. You're killing my fucking pockets, dropping this heat at the same goddamn time. I don't appreciate it, but I got to have them ones this weekend.
Bread ones.
Got to have them.
Ones that made a major come up, though, because they used to be the least favorite ones. I would never buy them.
The twos were the least favorite ones, but go ahead.
Now, them twos went hard for like a... There was a 3-year stretch when them twos were hard, especially the white ones with the red and black back.
Trash.
With that being said, people wouldn't buy ones for nothing. Now they buying them.
They flying off the shelf now, and these bread toe ones are fire, and I need them.
Yeah, but listen, we appreciate y'all listening. This is the On Deck TV Podcast. Rap chat on Facebook, On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, man, fuck with us on iTunes. We didn't have an On Decker of the Week. I blame
Blue. No.
Oh, because I was going to wrap it up. Now you got one?
I forgot. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. My bad. Ramir Ross Riley, On Deck of the Week, back to the Rap Chat.
You call his whole name?
Yeah. God, I mean, that's what he listed as on Facebook. Shit. I'm supposed to call the nigga out. Ramir Ross Riley, he wrote a dissertation about the different effects of rap psychologically for his psych course, he put a little thing, well, a little sample of it in the rap chat. I feel like that was fire. I want to go listen to those songs and kind of get into what he was saying about those in his dissertation, but that was fly. You, my guy, are the On Decker of the week for putting that in the rap chat, so congratulations to you.
Absolutely, and he got that, he put that information because he went back and listened to an old episode of ours. Bro, we 234 episodes deep, y'all. Mm-hmm. That's 234 original topics, dude. Yeah,
that's all us.
That's all us.
Complex.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Listen,
The Ringer.
This is a layup. Go back, Vice check Man, out some of those episodes, man. If you haven't heard the top 10 rap rants of all time, go back and listen to that. It's a classic. Yeah. Fuck it, I'm calling it.
No Limit vs. Cash Money episode.
Where Are They Now? No Limit. Where Are They Now? Bad Boy. It's a bunch of shit that we've went over. Appreciate you. What's my man name?
Ramir Ross Riley.
I'm going to call him Ramir by his first name like normal people do.
I mean, hey, man, that's his Facebook name. I call him R3.
Ah, that's cold, though.
It's your new nickname, R3.
That's hard right there. I like that.
I got you.
Shout out R3 for going back through the archives. And y'all do the same, man. And do us a favor. Go to iTunes, rate, like, and subscribe.
And we out.
Holla.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.